Parshat Emor, and one of the nice things about Parshat Emor is often when we read Parshiot, the event that the Parsha depicts is something we celebrate at a different time of year. Like we're reading about Yetziat Mitzrayim in February, typically, and then Pesach's not for another couple of months. And we read the Nisi'im, that are the Hanukkah reading, we read them in the beginning of the summer, if not so. And Rosh Yom Kippur is always in Vayikra, and again, not the season. And what's very nice is in the middle of Parshat Emor is the mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer. And we're always read during Sfirat HaOmer, so it's one that's right on. And what's interesting about it is that Parshat Emor presents the most comprehensive calendar anywhere in Tanakh. It goes through from Pesach till Shemini Atzeret, but it includes Shabbat, Pesach, Matzot, Omer, Sfira, Shavuot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shemini Atzeret. So it's all the whole way through. And smack in the middle of that is the mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer. And here's the two key psukim of Sfirat HaOmer that we have in front of us. Usfartem lachem imorcharat ha-shabbat miyom aviyachem et omer ha-tenufa sheva shabbatot timimot tiyana ad mimorcharat ha-shabbat ha-shvit yisbu 50 yom vikavtem yitcha chadasha al-adunai. Those are the two key psukim. And of course, the pregnant phrase that shows up twice in this passage and shows up a total of four times in the larger passage is Mocharat HaShabbat, which, if you remember from a few years ago, we discussed was like the biggest battle that took place towards the end of the Bayit Sheni period about the whole issue of Sunday and the Tzdukim, etc. We're not going to focus on that now. I want to take a look at a different component, which is going to look very trivial.
But the conclusion was the second day of Pesach or something.
That's our conclusion, right. That's not the Stukim's conclusion.
This is the greatest year because no fight.
Yeah, last year also. Yeah, but they're gone anyways. They're not around to fight. But the larger question, I'm going to look at what looks like a trivial question. It's going to open up to a larger question and then to a much broader question in the course of this year about Sfirat HaOmer. Question is, how do we deal with Sfirat HaOmer in our day? Is Sfirat HaOmer a mitzvah that's in full practice today?
You don't have the sacrifice.
You don't have the Korban HaOmer, the barley offering. So what are you counting from? You're counting from... So now take a look carefully at the psukim and you'll see that there's a mixed message.
Well, this beer is definitely biblical.
Usfartem lachem mimocharat HaShabbat, meaning you count from a particular day. Miyom haviyachem, from the day of your bringing at Omer HaTnufa. So now what happens if you don't bring it, but it's the day of bringing? Are you still counting or not?
Right?
And so therefore, it sounds as if this mitzvah is one that sort of surpasses or does an end around the issue of the existence of the Beit HaMikdash, whether or not the Korban is brought, there's still a mitzvah to count because you're counting from a day. And you find this expressed in... seems to be a machloket in the Gemara at the very, very end of the sugya of Sfirat HaOmer, in the 10th parak of Masechet Menachot. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, mitzvah lemimne yome u'mitzvah lemimne shavue. There's a mitzvah to count days, a mitzvah to count weeks. What that means, it's a bit of machloket, does it mean that you count today's one, today's two, today's eight, and then when you get to seven, you say, today is 14 days, and a separate thing is, today is 1 week. And then when you get to each of the completion of the weeks, this year it's on Friday night, you have a separate thing that you say of counting weeks. That's the way Rabbeinu Yerucham reads it. Or does it mean what we do, which is that once we get past seven, we do both counting? Rabbanan de Ravashi manu yome manu shvui. So Ravashi's students did that exactly. They would count both days and weeks. Amemar mane yomi velo mane shvui. Amemar only counted days and not weeks. Amar, he said, zecho lemikdashu. In other words, the entire Sfirat HaOmer is a zecho lemikdash, meaning it's not really in full force. We're doing it to remember the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore we'll go on what seems to be, this is the way most people read the Gemara, we're going to take, shall we say, a more lenient approach and say, you only have to count the days. That's, by the way, part of the reason that many Rishonim over the opinion that you could count Sfira is a kind of like good yontif or Maimachonim Vasser, but you could count the Omer much earlier than most nighttime things, like as soon as it's sunset.
Why is that?
Because it's Zecha LeMikdash, It's the Rabbanan. It's only done as a commemoration. It's not the real mitzvah, and therefore we're lenient even about the time. That's an approach they find in the school of Rashi, for instance. Okay, so it seems like the conclusion of the Gemara is that Sfirat HaOmer is a commemoration, and that's it, and we do it to remember the Beit HaMikdash.
That's just HaMeimar's opinion.
Correct. That's the final opinion quoted in the Gemara, and it's the one that seems to be accepted by the poskim. And by the way, almost all Rishonim say Sfirat HaOmer is the Rabbanan. Right?
So that would mean they don't have the FM is not about the day, it's about
right.
The
it means about the act of bringing it, and it's all focused around the Korban of the Omer, and it's, by the way, counting towards the Korban of the Shtei Alechem. And if you don't have those two Korban notes, so it's a commemoration.
And the reason you can't bring the Omer now is because there's no Beit HaMikdash.
And there's no Mizbeach that we can identify as the proper place to put it, no.
Yeah. Is it also right. The beginning of the planting and then the harvest, combination of the harvest?
Right, so the question is, how do we ever eat grain? Because if you don't bring the Omer, how can you eat grain? So the answer is that's where we go, Miyom HaBiyachem, which is that the day of the bringing is Matirat. And that's why we have a machloket when there is no Omer. Is it sunrise on the 16th of Pesach that's Matir Chadash, or sunset? It's machloket Tanaim. About whether it's from the beginning of the day, the minute the day starts, or it's once the day is completed. But either way, it's the day that's Matir Chadash. Now, the Rambam does something interesting here, which, by the way, is unmatched by any but one other Rishon, the Rav Yah. The Rambam clearly maintains that Sfirat HaOmer is Doraita, which, if you think about it, based on not just the line in the Gemara, but based on what the way that we think about Sfirat HaOmer, it's a little bit strange, because Sfirat HaOmer really is a mitzvah that has to do with Avodah Beit HaMikdash. And how could it be Doraita at a time when there is no Mikdash? And he says the following thing. Mitzvah taseh lispor sheva shabbatot tmimot miyom haba'at ha'omer. So it's a mitzvah to count 7 perfect weeks. Shemar, and he quotes the pasuk. Mitzvah limnot hayamim im ha'shavuot. So he says the mitzvah is to count days and weeks. And then he quotes tisbu chamishim yom. So you count weeks, you count days. Which means he's ruling like Abaye here. Umitchilat hayom monin. We count at the beginning of the day. Lefichach moneh balayla. Hold on 1 second. In other words, we count at night so that the entire day is a counted unit. Right? The 16th of Nisan, that's when we start. And that's the first halacha. Next one is, he says, Shachach v'lom mana balayla moneh bayom. What happens if the guy forgot to count at night?
It's in the morning.
Counts during the day. Ve'ein monim ela me'umad. He says, by the way, you only can count, you have to stand up. Where'd that come from? Why do you have to stand up?
What about the bracha thing?
See, so about what?
Don't say bracha.
So we're going to see what he says, and he doesn't make a comment about that issue. V'imanam yushav yatsa. So you should stand up for the bracha, for the sfira, but if you set it sitting down, you're okay. Mitzvah zu akol ish v'yisrael v'chol makom u'v'chol zman. Now that line, v'chol zman, is very big. Because that means this mitzvah applies in all times. V'chol zman, in the Rambam and in the Sefer Chinuch and other Monei Mitzvot, is used as opposed to Bizman HaMikdash. B'chol Zman means even in times when there's no Mikdash.
Why women excluded?
Right? Where do you say that? So when Hashem Avadim Peturim Yomam, it's very simple. It's Mitzvah Taseh Shel Zman Grama.
But if you can do it at mitzvah. Any point during the day or night.
It's a time-bound mitzvah. Got to do it today. Plus you have to do it at night, ideally.
But you don't think the rationale for women being excluded is involved with take care of the kids or something.
I don't know why. I'm not ready to say why. I don't know. But that's not the main focus here. Right? But Tzarich Levarech B'chol Laila.
I have a different question, though.
Let's finish the Rambam. Tzarich Levarech B'chol Laila. You make a bracha. Shom Lekinu Cholam. Shazam Zval Sfirat HaOmer. Kodem Shispor. Manav V'lo Beirach Yatzav V'no Chazam Varech. If you counted without saying the bracha, and there's always the problem of identifying the day before you'd have a Mariv, right? That's what we say last night was, etc. If you can't without a bracha, then you're yotze already, and you don't go back and make the bracha because you already fulfilled the mitzvah. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah not in a complete way because you didn't make the bracha. Okay, what's your question?
Nowhere in the pasuk does it say about counting each day.
Yes, it does.
Where?
Tisbru chamishim yom, count 50 days. Right there.
No. I understand. Yes, but the thing is that. It's not saying count every day. It's saying you have to start this count. And
yes.
It goes for 50 days because the point of all of this is at the end of 50 days you bring this mincha.
How do you count without counting each unit? I don't understand what you're thinking.
Because it's collateral.
How do you count 7 days of Nikim for a Zaga?
Well, for example, I don't go on
How do you count
Sunday.
Shmita and Yovel? How do you count any of those things? That means every year the Beit Din says this is the first year of Shemitah.
Right, but they don't have to sit there and manually declare
it. Yeah, they do.
Why?
Yes, they do, because that's how Sphira works.
The question is there another model that has to do with counting?
Yes, that's what I said. A Zava has to count 7 days. She has to count. Today's day one of my Nikim.
She has to do that every day?
Yeah. Yes. Oh. Yeah. Okay. All any Sphira like that means each unit has to be identified. You can ask a different question about why women don't make a bracha on Sfirat Shiva Nikim. And that,
well, I don't even know they say it.
And that's because they, in case it gets interrupted, because if they say dam, then it doesn't work. Here, there's no reason for that to happen.
There's no accounting for this.
Okay, so I put down four questions, and I lined them up with the little numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4 that I put in here. So first of all, why is this mitzvah applicable min ha-Torah even today? Right? That's one question. Another question on the Rambam is where the Rambam put this in the Mishnah Torah. Most Rishonim, and of course I have to admit why this is the case, in most Sifrei Psak, actually in all Sifrei Psak, you will find the laws of Sefirat HaOmer where? Right after the Seder. In Aruch Chaim, it talks about the Seder, and then at the end of the Seder, and then there'll be a siman about, in the Tur, in the Shulchan Aruch, there'll be a siman about the mitzvah of Sefirat HaOmer, there'll be another siman about customs of mourning during the Omer. But the mitzvah...
Yeah, because it's sequentially...
It's sequential. The Rambam could have easily put this in Sefer Zmanim, and Hilchot Chametz Matzah at the end of the Seder, and put a few couple halachot, there's a mitzvah to count, Instead, he has it in a section of Sefer Avodah, which is known as Tmidin Musafin, which is the laws of the daily and extra korbanot that are brought. So why the Rambam put that there? That's kind of strange. The third thing is that the Rambam says you got to stand up for Sefirat HaOmer. We all do that. We all know that. But where did that come from? Well, who says you have to stand up, right? And the other thing about standing up is the Rambam says that standing up is ideal, but is not vital, which means that if you said it sitting down, you're yotzei. So let's say you're sitting, you're lying in bed, and you had gone to, like, say, a Friday night early minyan, and they said, don't forget to count tonight. And you had a great dinner Friday night, and you've gotten you in bed, you're about to go to sleep, and you said, I didn't count. And you're too tired to get out of bed, so you sit up in bed, and you put your keep on, or you had to keep on, and you said the bracha, Hashem, Zom, Zon, Osirat, Omer, Hayom, da-da-da-da, you're yotzei. So that means standing up is an ideal, but is not vital. Why is that? Where does that come from? Now, parenthetically, the Tur, as you see in source 4, makes the comment that you should stand up when you count. Doesn't give any source. And the Beit Yosef on the spot says source 5, Sarich lispor me'umad, kain katav ha-rosh b'sof psachim. I told you, they all do it at the end of psachim. The rosh at the end of psachim says you have to stand up, and he quotes, chimavarchim rachinam u'umad, you have to do the bracha standing up, the Tana Rabbanan. He quotes a braita. Problem is, this braita can't be found anywhere. I mean, the Rosh quotes it, but we can't find the source. Me'achel chamesh ba'kama. The Torah says that you start counting when you start holding the scythe up, thank you, to the stalk. Stalk is called a kama. Al tikre ba'kama ela be'koma. The word koma, which is related, same root, means standing up tall. So the drasha is, you have to say, Kisvirat Omer is standing up tall. But if that's the case, then it should be that if you said it sitting down, you're not yotze. It's part of the mitzvah. All right? Plus, we can't find this bright anywhere. Is there maybe something else going on? So I'd like to turn the page, and I'd like to talk more globally about this distinction that the Rambam alluded to when he said B'chol Zman. And we think, by the way, when we think of mitzvot, we think consistently in binary categories. Mitzvah taseh, mitzvah lo taseh. Ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chavero. Right? Mamon isur. Everything is split into two. And we think of mitzvot as tluyot ba'aretz, or enam tluyot ba'aretz, agricultural mitzvot or non-agricultural mitzvot. We think about mitzvot shenohagot bizman shebeit hamikdash kayam, and mitzvot shenohagot afilu shelo bizman shebeit hamikdash kayam. It's essentially a binary function, which is either it's something that belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, like a korbanot, or something that's independent of the Beit HaMikdash, like tefillin, and therefore it ignores, if you will, the Churban Beit HaMikdash. So this sounds like it's independent, except maybe not so much, because remember, the whole Sefirat HaOmer is built around counting from a Korban. So we find an interesting sugya in Masechet Zvachim at the beginning of the second parak, the Mishnah here, and then the Gemara that follows. But first I'd like to show you the Kip Sukim. In source 6, which is Sefer Dvarim, this talks about the gifts to the Kohanim. When you shecht a chulin animal, you have to give them the certain parts of the coin. Rashid ganchati roshcha v'tzarecha v'truma. Rashid geiz tzoncha, the first cheerings. Titendo, why? Kivo bachar Adonai lecha mikol shvatecha. God selected him from all the tribes. La'amod l'sharet, to stand and to minister. B'shem Adonai huvanav kol ayamim. And then, the coin. This is evidently referring to the Kohanim. V'sheret b'shem Adonai lohav k'chol achav halvi'im ha'omdim sham lifnei Adonai. Now you find within this proximity twice the verb la'amod as defining the avodah in the Beit HaMikdash. La'amod. Okay. Now, take a look at the Mishnah in blue. The Mishnah from Perek Bet, beginning of Perek Bet and Zvachim. Kol ha'zvachim shekibel daman, and this Mishnah deals with all sorts of circumstances or people who invalidate an avodah. And the first avodah that has to be done by a kohen is kabbalat adam. Any of the three of us could do shechita. But kabbalat adam and on, we need a kohen. So that's why they pick Kabbalah here. Kol ha'zvachim shekibel daman zar, a non-kohen, onain, somebody whose relative has died that day, buried, tvul yom, somebody who has not yet had the evening fall, they've gone to the mikveh that day, but the day isn't over. B'chusar b'gadim, they're not wearing bidei kunam. B'chusar kipurim, if they owe the kipurim korban and they haven't brought it yet. Shelo rachutz yadam v'raglaim, they didn't wash ritually beforehand. Arel, so they're not circumcised. Tamei, yoshev. Right? If somebody's seated and they do kabbalat adam, da 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 da, pasal. You see the other blue word, the bold word, pasal. You invalidate the avodah if you're seated. As all those other ones are either certain kinds of people, or people in certain ritual circumstances, or people who are yet not completed the ritual process, or yoshev. And the other three, by the way, the kavalo, are all related to yoshev. They're like leaning on things. You're not standing up. Now, where does this come from? Now, you invalidate it. So the Gemara in Source 8 from Daf Chav Gimel tells us the following. Tana Rabbanan. La'amod l'sharet. Remember that first pasuk? Up on top in the green. La'amod l'sharet. To stand and serve. Mitzvah. Now mitzvah means that sets an ideal. The ideal is avodah is done standing up. Shu'omer ha'omdim. You see the second one, omdim sham. Shina la'va katuv la'kev. The text repeated ha'omdim and made it vital.
Maybe this only applies to Kohanim.
So, we would think, and it's describing Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash, correct? Right. Or in the Mishkan. Now, this is a rule of Midrash Halacha when it comes to the Beit Mikdash. Anything about the Mikdash? We have the rule which is, if it presents an idea once, it's telling you the desideratum. If it says it twice, it means it's sine qua non. You can't do without it. Right, the first one just says that's the ideal. It says it a second time means it is absolutely vital. Without it, you're no good. So twice it says standing. Therefore, the first time it says you should stand. The second time it enforces it such to the point where if you're not standing, it's no good. Okay. So again, we are used to thinking in binary categories, which is either this is something related to the Mikdash or something not related to the Mikdash. I'm going to propose a third category. I propose a third category that's in the middle. I'm going to start you from somewhere else. We usually daven mincha in here. When we get with daven daven mincha, what do? We all face that way. Why do we face that way? Because we want to face towards the Beit HaMikdash. So from Chutz La'aretz, we face towards Israel, and Israel face Yerushalayim, etc. But the ultimate goal is we're facing towards the Beit HaMikdash, which means tefillah is something that's absolutely independent of the Beit HaMikdash. And formal tefillah was established as a result of the Churban Beit HaMikdash. And yet, tefillah is oriented towards the mikdash. Mm-hmm. We have several other things
but
that
as
we
a
do.
So,
not as a zecher, no. Not as a zecher, no.
Then as what?
The tefillah is an avodat Hashem that's connected to the Beit HaMikdash, but it's done outside of the Mikdash. It's done whether you're in Afula or Los Angeles or Moscow.
And as a result,
you still daven. People daven. They just didn't have a formal kind of davening.
But they didn't face the Beit.
Yes, they did. That was
even
absolutely.
While it existed.
Absolutely.
Based
you
on
face
what?
It. That's the Rambam in Hilchot Tefillah, Perek Aleph. Yeah. That the Ikar Tefillah D'Oraita is to stand up, the Rambam says, at least once a day, praise, request, and thanks God facing the Mishkan, wherever it is.
No, but I'm saying based on what?
Based on what? Based on Shlomo's tefillah, Perek Chet and Malachim Aleph.
Okay.
If they will face this house, they'll face this city. Okay. It's all from there. And so tefillah is always oriented towards the mikdash, but it's done independent of a mikdash. And what you have is an interesting model, which is, here is an avodah of Hashem, worshiping Hashem, which is done independently of the place of the Mikdash, meaning of the existence of the Mikdash, and yet it's oriented towards the Mikdash, literally, in your way you face. And therefore, there's something of a middle category, which is, it's a mitzvah which is dependent on the Mikdash, but doesn't have to be done in the Mikdash. Which leads to an interesting conclusion. It means that any mitzvah that has to be done in the Mikdash, if there's no Mikdash, you can't do it. Any mitzvah that has nothing to do with the Mikdash, up or down, we keep Shabbos. But a mitzvah which is oriented towards the mikdash is still going to be in full force when the mikdash isn't there, because even when the mikdash was there, I could still daven in afula. So I didn't have to be in the mikdash. So the mikdash standing was not the issue. So therefore, if I face the spot of the mikdash, same thing. So tefillah is still doraita today, even though there's no mikdash. So I'd like to propose that what the Rambam does is he sees Sfirat HaOmer as being modeled in the same way. What's Sfirat HaOmer? It's a mitzvah that is independent of the Mikdash. And what's his proof? Even in the days of the Beit HaMikdash, if I lived in Tel Aviv, I'd count the Omer. Right? 100%, without question. So I don't have to be in the Mikdash to do it. Therefore, it stands independent of the Mikdash, but it's unquestionably oriented towards the Mikdash, because it's all about a Korban. And so therefore, I do it with some sort of a, shall we say, mikdash awareness, but I'm obligated to do it no matter what. So therefore, the Rambam, first of all, holds Sfirat HaOmer is d'oraita today, just like tefillah is d'oraita today. Second thing is, where does he put the laws of Sfirat HaOmer? Right where they belong, with the laws of the Korban HaOmer. In other words, this is one law of Kodshim that actually continues to be in full operation today, but it's a law of Kodshim, it's a law of Korbanot. He then says that just like Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash, you have to stand up for it. That's his source. It's an Avodah of the Beit HaMikdash, you have to stand up. However, what's the rule in the Mishnah? The rule in the Mishnah was that if you do any Avodah sitting down, it's no good, right? What does it say about Tzvira?
It's okay.
Why? Because take a look at the Psukim again. There's two different issues going on. And as I said, this is a much larger issue than just Sfirat HaOmer. The first phrase is la'amod l'sharet, to stand and minister. That does not speak about place. It speaks about the fact you're worshiping God, you stand and minister. The second one is ha'omdim sham. That's about place. Remember what the Gemara said? If it only said it once, I would know it's an ideal. The minute it says it twice, I know that it's vital. But what's the second pasuk?
If you're there, you need to stand.
Because that is a reflection of honor for the location. Sfirat HaOmer has definitely Lamod L'Sharet, it's an Avodah. But it's not HaOmdim Sham. So there's only the ideal, not the vital. And therefore, I should stand. But if I don't stand, I'm Fam Yotze. Now, an interesting thing about Tefillah. Take a look in Source 11. Right? Mitzvat Aseh Lipala B'chol Yom Shnemar V'Avadetem Pishon Avodah Zuhi Tefillah. Meaning, Tefillah is called Avodah. And here's your question, Jason, at the end of Source 11, in bold, V'akol yumi palim nocha chamikdash b'chol makom shiyah. That's the essential mitzvah d'oraita. Interesting thing in Hilchot Tefillah Perek Hei. Rambam organized Perek Dalet of Hilchot Tefillah is five things that tefillah is absolutely requires, and if you don't do them, you're not yotzei tefillah. The kavanah is one. Perek Dalet is eight things that are desiderata of tefillah, but if you don't do them, you're yotzei. Take a look at this. Shmona dvarim tzarich litpavel lizayar ben v'lasotam. V'mayad l'chuk v'nenaso shavar v'lo asa otan ein ma'akvin. There's eight things that you should do, but if you don't do them, if you daven without them, or you forgot, or you weren't able to,
you're not saying.
And what's the first one he says? Ve'eluin amida.
Right.
Meaning? Yeah. So that means, really, you should daven standing up. But if for whatever reason, because you were unable to, or you forgot, or whatever it is, you said tefillah sitting down, you yotze, you don't get up and daven again. So let's say that you're on a bus, and the sun is setting, and the bus is doing this sort of thing, or the driver is going to get agitated if you stand up, you say tefillah sitting down. Mm-hmm. Same thing on a plane. Same thing, you know, in any circumstance where you just cannot get up, you say tefillah sitting down. It's far from ideal, but it's acceptable.
So, is that why
so you notice that tefillah and Sfiyat Omer have the same parallel, this parallel, which is ideally you stand up, but if you said it sitting down, you yotze. And one last point to make, and I'll take your question, is you notice that at the end, after Sfira, there's a whole bunch of different things that are in the Sidurim to say. The Perak Samach Zayin, and Ana Bachoach, and Ribono Shel Olam, and Hod Shebahod, etc., etc. But what's the line, one line that everybody says, after Sfira Tomer? Chaman hu yachzir lanu avodah beit hamikdash v'chor v'yotzeh, right? In other words, after counting Sfira, what do we say? Please Hashem restore us to the Beit HaMikdash. In other words, as if to say, make this mitzvah whole. Is there any other time we say something like that? Sure there is. When we finish Shmon Esrei, what do we say?
Right.
The two mitzvot that we do, one of them on a daily basis, one of them for 7 weeks in the spring, that are oriented towards the mikdash. They're the oraita mitzvot that are related to the mikdash, but don't depend on the existence of the mikdash. Both of them, we add on at the end a request to make them complete by having Hashem rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, or help us rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, so we do it in a complete way.
And that's why Kiddush, you don't need to stand for...
Kiddush has nothing to do with this. Kiddush is not an avodah.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.